Hi everyone, thanks for joining us today. We're really excited to be here with this great panel that I'll introduce in just a moment. Just to make sure you're in the right place, our session today is Foundations Innovating and Supporting Health Equity, Multi-Field Partnerships, and Policy and Environmental Change Strategies. My name is Shireen Malik-Afzali. I'm a senior associate at Policy Link based in Oakland, California, but we're a national organization. And we're program directors of the Convergence Partnership, which I'll tell you a little bit more about in just a moment. I'll be moderating your session today as well as presenting shortly. The objectives that we have for our session are, one, to describe the effectiveness of new approaches to grant making focused on policy and environmental change strategies and promoting health. And then the second is to discuss new and innovative approaches to community health promotion, and finally to identify new strategies to engage community leaders and promote health equity. On this great panel today, we have Chris Cable, who has served as the program officer at the Northwest Health Foundation for nearly 5 years now. He has prime responsibility for the foundation's grant making and its physical activity and nutrition and social determinants of health domains. In addition to managing a diverse grant portfolio, Chris works collaboratively with grantees and other partners to advance policy agendas that support community health and expand expertise in emerging public health tools and issues. Then we have Lisa Crapo, who is a senior associate at Samuels & Associates, based in Oakland, California. They work across communities in California, but also across the state, United States. They are a public health evaluation and research firm, and she's going to tell you a little bit more about their work, but I'll just say that they look to create healthy communities through policy and environmental change. And then last but definitely not least, we have Ann Hoskins Brown from St. Christopher's Foundation for Children based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She has over 20 years of experience in a range of capacities with mid-sized and grassroots nonprofit organizations in Philadelphia. Before joining St. Christopher's Foundation for Children, Ann served as grant development and research manager at MANA, where she worked closely with program staff to develop initiatives, including a groundbreaking research project to determine the impact of nutrition on healthcare costs. So we've got this great panel for you today. And what I'm going to do is just start off by giving a little bit of an overview of how we're all connected together, which is through a Convergence Innovation Fund. It's a national grant-making initiative. And then turn it over for you to get examples of how this initiative is being implemented in various places. So first, I have to back up and let you know that I have no financial disclosures to report. So the Convergence Partnership, let me see, how many of you are familiar with the Convergence Partnership? Give me a raise of hands. Okay, so maybe about half of you in this room. So I'm not going to take too much time to describe them, but I'll take a few slides to give you an overview for those of you who are not familiar with the partnership, and also let you know that at 4:30 on the agenda, there is a session that's solely focused on who the Convergence Partnership is, the types of work that they're doing, and some information about an evaluation of their efforts. The Convergence Partnership is a collaborative of six major funders and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that are engaged in multi-field equity-focused policy and environmental change efforts to achieve their vision of healthy people in healthy places. Okay. The steering committee includes the California Endowment, Kaiser Permanente, the Kresge Foundation, Nemours, which is a healthcare foundation based in Delaware, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and again, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention serve as technical advisors. Policy Link, who I work for, serves as program directors to the Convergence Partnership. We are a national research and action institute advancing economic and social equity by lifting up what works. The goal of the Convergence Partnership overall is to accelerate and amplify efforts to create environments that support a vision of healthy people in healthy places. The strategies that the partnership feels is most effective, given their personal experiences working in their institutions, are to build partnerships and to be as coordinated as possible, to work across fields and across sectors, to focus on equity very intentionally and intentionally focus on targeting policies and efforts that promote equity, and also overall that the way to sustain changes in communities is to focus on policy and environmental change, not just programmatic efforts. In trying to think about the goals of the partnership and how to implement them in local communities, in particular given how built environment policies are so localized, the partnership spent a lot of time trying to think about what is a program that could serve a number of goals. And those goals would be to support foundations to shift their grant making, and this would be local or regional foundations, towards policy and environmental change strategies targeting health inequity. Leverage and create local and sustainable resources for promising innovative strategies for the region. Promoting health inequity through land use and land use, built environment, and food access strategies. Two strategies that the partnership collectively felt they saw as successful strategies in their individual institutions. Promote health inequity through these two different types of strategies. And then promoting multi-field partnerships on the ground and among foundations. They found that when they came together and learned about each other's work and were able to coordinate their work, they were much more targeted, much more efficient, much more effective. And they want to help foundations be able to do that. They also want to see communities on the ground more effectively engage across fields in order to move a collective agenda. Bless you. So as they thought about those goals, they put together a national grant-making initiative called the Convergence Innovation Fund that helped achieve all of those things. And I'll tell you a little bit about how it achieved those goals. The Convergence Innovation Fund is an approximately $2 million two-year national grant-making initiative, which provides 50% matching dollars on what the local and regional foundations put forth. So that's 50%, 50 cents on every dollar that those foundations are putting together. And so with the $2 million, the Convergence Partnership leveraged an additional over $4 million, in fact, to create about a $6 million initiative. The initiative provides about $100,000 or up to $100,000 per year for 2 years per Innovation Fund partner, who are the local and regional foundations. The goals are to, again, work on multi-field collaborations and focusing on specifically on land use and built environment as well as food access work. And again, the reason for that focus, while it can be very, very broad, sort of seen very broadly, we also wanted to make sure that it was things that were local policies or state policies that national partners would only be able to support through understanding what the local regions were really like. And we felt that the local foundations best understood the context and the environments and the people in their local communities, and therefore we wanted to rely on their leadership and support their leadership on those issues. And you know, one other thing just to say is that the Convergence Partnership really wanted to see this as a catalytic initiative, that this is an initiative that the partners, the foundations could sort of utilize to take some risks in their grant making towards policy and environmental change. Maybe it was a direction they were already leaning towards, but they could really start to launch it if they had some new dollars and some national names behind them, and they could go to their board and show that they had some success with this initiative and therefore get more buy-in to take these strategies and spread them throughout their portfolios and throughout their other initiatives as well, and hopefully maintain the initiative. What we did was we had a competitive RFP process, and in the end we selected 15 local regional foundation partners who were doing excellent work and put in amazing proposals. Those local partners received matching funds. Now, again, it was up to $100,000 a year, but they ranged anywhere from just $30,000 for the 2 years to $200,000 for the two-year period. And we saw some actually phenomenal progress made by some of the organizations who even had at the $30,000 range. 10 of the Innovation Fund partners launched brand new initiatives. The majority were focused in urban areas, but we wanted to make certain that there was a portion of the portfolio that was also rural. The vast majority focused actually on both built environment and food access efforts and really wanted to have an initiative that included both of those issues. While only four applied in collaboration with other funders, I would say the majority of the remainder of them also created foundation partners as a result of working on the Innovation Fund. Geographic diversity was important, and the cohort is geographically diverse. We've got about 6 in the West, 4 partners in the East, 3 in the Midwest, and 2 in the South. While the funding was the major source of the sort of carrot, we also wanted to provide some support and worked with the partners. We held educational webinar series for the partners as well as their grantees and made that available to a larger audience. And we focused those on some of the key tenets of the Convergence Partnership strategies, but also on issues that we know the partners, Innovation Fund partners, wanted more support in, such as evaluation and communication. We held quarterly calls among the Innovation Fund partners, the foundations, so that we were able to build relationships with one another, given that we were across the country, as well as learn from one another's experiences. We held an in-person convening with some other Innovation Fund partners of another initiative that you can hear more about at 4:30 as well. And that really was a great experience for folks to actually meet in person and get to know one another and put a face to a name. We also created some opportunities to connect with federal policy initiatives like the Fresh Food Financing as well as transportation, and did an evaluation and are in the process of still finishing our evaluation. So, you know, thinking about each of the partners is innovating in really different ways. The RFP was fairly open to how the partners could really allow the partners to take in the local context and the local needs and really be able to create a program or initiative or project that really suited the region and was able to take their region to another level. And so each of the foundations is innovating in different ways. Some have never done place-based work. Place-based strategies are using that. Some are specifically focusing on incorporation of communities of color and low-income communities. Others are working strongly on moving community participation processes into both their grant making, but as well into their policy initiatives that happen in their regions. Some had never worked on food access or land use efforts. These were community foundations that had been really focused in other directions, but really were recognizing the needs of food access and built environment in their regions, and this gave them opportunity to move in that direction. Some had not been working in multi-field partnerships. Some had not worked in collaboration, in funder collaboratives, and some had not really taken leadership over a certain arena in their communities. For example, in Memphis, the Community Foundation for Memphis had never really been a leader in health issues. They're a community foundation, and they were not seen as a leader in health issues. And after this, they really began to take a leadership role, not even just in the Memphis area, but statewide on issues of food access. So I'm going to quickly go through this. So looking at some things such as equity, there was a few foundations that specifically wanted to focus their support in low-income communities and communities of color. Other communities, which were particularly in distressed communities, they were finding that they were disenfranchised from the policy decision-making processes and wanted to make sure to incorporate them into that process, which was how they decided to innovate for their region. Some had not really worked very much on policy and environmental change strategies, and you'll hear a little bit more, and we'll discuss how St. Christopher's Foundation has really taken a leap into working on policy strategies using the Innovation Fund. Others had not worked on food access or land use policies before, as we mentioned. And then some hadn't worked at the neighborhood level before. They had worked on policy issues, but they hadn't really collaborated with communities in neighborhoods to understand what their issues were and how their grant making could further their priorities. again, multi-field partnerships. Some groups like New Mexico Community Foundation, they had some challenging community dynamics where the Native Indian population, for example, and some of the farmers and a historic Mexican population that moved there and become farmers, historically had not always gotten along and worked together. And so what they used was they used these funds to bring those groups together to create a policy agenda and move the work around food access at a state level. So the progress to date has been really significant. When you hear about the work, which you'll hear more about in just a minute, individual work in the regions, you'll hear how much progress each of the organizations had made. Many have launched brand new initiatives. Many grants have been made. There's over 75 grants that have been made. Their communities have now access to food and healthy land use changes that they didn't have before. For example, the Zilber Family Foundation in Milwaukee passed a vacant properties ordinance, which now allows them to have communities to have access to vacant properties that they didn't have before. Mary Black Foundation received a fresh food financing grant from the Health and Human Services. Now they're launching a large food hub in their region. Grant-making structures have changed altogether. Capacity has been built, not just within foundations, but also within the community. And foundations have really built some of their leaderships within communities to work on food and built environment topics, like I mentioned, the Memphis Community Foundation. They've also had some challenges in doing their work, and we heard some of their challenges were that 2 years was not enough time to build the kind of policy efforts you needed and get really real policy impacts, that there wasn't enough time to create the kind of community participatory processes that build relationships and identify policy agendas that they needed. There was a lot of trust building that first needed to happen. There wasn't a lot of existing policy capacity, in particular in distressed communities, so there was a lot more time needed to incubate that kind of capacity. It was hard it was very challenging to get other funders on board to meet the match, to get them excited about this work. Some of the boards were uncomfortable with the foundations embarking on policy and environmental change. This was not an arena that they had worked in before, and there was some discomfort, and it was really the program officers leading the Innovation Fund efforts were really trying to push them to better understand how policy and environmental change were critical and how it could be incorporated into their mission. Some of the strengths of the initiative were the vision and the direction that the national partnership laid out in the request for proposal, the providing the funds that were necessary to be able to take risks for local foundations, in particular community foundations that had limited discretionary dollars, supporting innovative built environment land use efforts that maybe were a little too cutting edge, that they wouldn't have felt comfortable stepping out into supporting and felt like with these additional dollars they could do so. It has helped shift the thinking of foundations into integrating equity and policy, environmental change, and health into one initiative and do these more complex initiatives. It has helped explore, maximize the partnership components, the leadership components, as well as expanded the funder leadership. Now, there's been some challenges with the initiative itself that we've heard from the partners that we are working on. That one, not surprisingly, that the time frame was too short for the type of community-led innovative policy work that was needed. There was very limited technical assistance, and we should have had more of that up front. That meeting in person was so critical, and that didn't happen until about a year after the initiative was already underway, and they wished that had happened earlier. That could really have catalyzed the cohort to feel like it was much more of a peer learning community. And that overall, there was limited time to build, to foster relationships, to mine the kinds of project innovation that was happening at the local level, and in order to mine that, to build capacity and support federal policy initiatives of the partnership, as well as those that the local Innovation Fund partners were operating under. Overall, you know, we have a lot to learn from this initiative. This was the pilot initiative we launched in May 2009. We are almost fully at 2 years. January will be 2 years that the partners have been implementing their programs. And we have been trying really hard to learn from this process. And And I think what we've had in the partnership, the Convergence Partnership agrees, is a lot of success, that each of the regions have really put in a lot of efforts, really put in a lot of sweat equity into this initiative to really be able to take advantage of what the dollars and the national support could bring to their regions. And what we're trying to do is learn about what were the challenges that the partners had, what were the weaknesses of the initiative, and build on that in order to create a stronger next initiative that we will launch in 2012 at some point. Ultimately, we really are trying to catalyze a shift in how foundations are making their investments and incentivize this shift. Seed and strengthen and leverage the work of regions, respecting the work that regions are doing and the innovation that's happening, stimulate additional resources, and ultimately build new connections towards the vision of healthy people and healthy places. I want to thank you for your time, and I'm going to turn it over to Chris Cable, who will talk about his initiative in just a moment.